Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. My guest today needs no introduction. He has been on the forefront of telling people the absolute truth about what has been going on in this nation through the pandemic, through the vaccine, through what is the aftermath and what is coming again. Thank you for joining me, Ed Dowd.
Mel, great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, sir. Always an honor to have you. Few people have been more resolute and in front of information, numbers, and truth as you have. Where are we right now, as you are, I'm sure, watching the ramping up by the installed, I call them, regime, the O'Biden regime and others? Just yesterday, I guess Jill Biden announced that she has COVID. Whoopi Goldberg on The View announced this morning that she has COVID. New York City has up signs to go back to masking. And what are you watching happening?
Well, Biden, press secretary, just dropped a video. There's a video I just quote tweeted on Twitter where she says that Joe is going to start masking again and following social distancing. You know, it came out about 3-4 weeks ago. I think Alex Jones broke the story and then yes, others verified it. Natalie Winters from War Room found out that they had purchased testing equipment, the government. So the rumors, and they said it was going to be rolled out in September. And here we are post Labor Day and voila, magically people are getting COVID, prominent figures. We've seen this movie before. It's a joke. Right. The good news is it sounds like Kaiser Permanente, I was told, tried to roll out a mask mandate. Employees revolted, lasted a day. Right. Atlantic College tried to roll out, and that's been no longer, they're no longer going to do it because it was such a revolt. So people just need to be resolute. This time around, you know, look, I was fighting the information war. So when the masking was going on in Maui, my battle wasn't against the old auntie in Walgreens telling me, that was not my battle. But this right, time I'm walking in without a mask if they try it here, and I'll say, call the cops. And the cops will be like, screw that. I don't have time for this. We got arsonists on Maui. We got things to do. We got people to help. We're done. So right, if everybody massively non-complies, this is all not going to happen.
Right. Now, something else that you've been on top of very early on, you were the first person I saw at all looking at actuary data, looking at the insurance numbers. There has been some updates in the disability situation in our nation. Can you talk? And these numbers that they keep throwing out from this regime about unemployment and stuff are totally fraudulent, in my opinion. What are you seeing in these numbers, especially for disability and insurance claims? Are they still, you know, as shocking as they've been?
Yeah, so we had, the data is suggesting a reacceleration. We saw the U.S. disability data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics explode in June. It hit a new slight new high in May, then went up about 1 million people in June. And then it came down a little bit in July, then back up in August. So we're still at the highs. Employed women went to a new high in August. Employed men accelerated in June and July and are off slightly from their highs in August. And interestingly enough, when you look at not in labor force, their trend continues lower. The disability, and those are the people who are not, you know, subjected. Those are the people who quit or got right, fired, who are still looking for jobs and or self-employed at this point because they're tired of trying to fight the system. So reacceleration this summer in disability. We just updated the 2023 excess mortality in the UK, and we found an acceleration in excess mortality in 1 through 14 and ages 15 through 44. 15 through 44 is 20%.
Wow.
A new all-time high, up from 2022 of 11%. And exceeded the 2021 high of, I think, 15%. So we're at a new high there. The children 1 through 14, their vaccine was introduced later in the year in the UK. They had negative excess mortality due to the lockdowns and no school, because accidental death is the biggest cause of death in that age group. So less activity means less death. Then mysteriously, their excess death started to rise with the introduction of the vaccine, went up in 21, and now they're at 22% in 2023 annualized. So this is a SHIT show.
Right.
You know, I find it curious that they're now rolling out a new variant that we should be afraid of. If you noticed, about 6 weeks ago, the mainstream media started fanning us with stories of some new variant. The WHO highlighted some new variant. Look, at this point, COVID's a cold. I got COVID 4 weeks ago. I didn't even know it was COVID. The only reason I know is because my friend got tested, who I got the cold from. It was a cold.
Right.
I had a stuffy nose and a little bit of a sore throat. And I worked out every day. Like I worked out, you know, I have a workout regimen. I worked out during COVID. Then I got food poisoning 2 weeks later. Now that took me out for 2-3 days. Right. Like, so, you know, I'm here to tell you, food poisoning is exponentially worse than COVID if, you know, if you're not vaccinated. If you are, you might have some problems. Not everybody, but apparently those who are vaccinated get hit harder by, you know, these cold variants.
Right.
It's not going to kill you, but it's certainly not going to be pleasant. But this is a joke, and they're going to try to ramp this up, and we're just not going to comply. We've already had success at Atlanta College and Kaiser Permanente. Right. In New York, if they try to bring it back, walk into every place without a mask and say, call the cops. Just say, call the cops.
Right. Have you in your journey, because at some point you got to step back and you're a deep guy, have you thought of who they are and what their goal is? Because obviously it's a international lockstep, because as we started to hear about new variants, so did my friends in India, and so did my friends in Israel, and so did my friends in Russia. And you know, so a lot of people, Monaco, just everyone's getting the same news cycle. Everyone's getting the same narrative. And yet people still look at this and think, you know, well, this is just going to end. And I don't see that this ends unless we end it. But when you look at this from your point of view, you used to be, you have a great company still, but you were in finance, you were in banking, you were in this, you're an international person that understands international business. At this point, what are you looking at when you look at the continued lockstep movement of seemingly a globalist group of people?
Well, we're in the cover up mode. The excess disability we're seeing. Oh, one other thing. My insurance whistleblower said their third quarter results are seeing an explosion in long-term disability. So there's another data point. It's all you know, different databases, different data sources. So I suspect, you know, in my book, I didn't talk about the who and the why. I just talked about it is and it's occurring. At this point, we don't even need to know the who and the why. It's a cover-up. And they're trying to roll out a new variant to cover up for all the deaths and disabilities from the vaccine. So we don't even need to. I mean, that's going to be the purview of courts and lawsuits and eventual justice. All we need to know is it's a mass cover up. All the governments are complicit, and that's why it seems like lockstep again, because they're covering up what they did, and those people are still in power. And they're doing a rut-row moment, Homer Simpson back into the hedgerow, and they're going to try to do this nonsense again and blame a variant or climate change or whatever nonsense. I mean, it's a joke.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody that buys this narrative is literally, you can't hang out with these people. You just can't. They're going to disappear in a couple of years because they're going to keep getting boosted and they're not going to be around. So. The good news is, I think there's a lot of hope for healing if you stopped. But if you're brainwashed, you know, distance yourself from these people because they won't be around in 5 to 10 years.
Well, at what point, though, you've been looking at a lot of the insurance data, and what I've been looking at is the insurance companies. At what point do the insurance companies not have the money? At what point does the disability not exist? I really hear very little about the actual insurance companies. And I'm surprised at this point that they're not out there kind of being like, you know, white flag, we're getting really screwed here.
Well, they're dopes. You know, my whistleblower resides in a company where the CEO is frail and sickly, and other members of the executive team continue to get jabbed, and they don't seem to make the connection. I mean, it's literally, depending upon where the insurance company is located, they seem, you know, if they're woke, they're drinking the religion.
Right.
And but what is going on is group life. There's two types of policies. There's group life, which are, you know, a benefit you get when you work at a big company and you get one or two extra salary if you die. They've already repriced that up. They lost money at the end of 21 and beginning of 22. They just repriced them all up.
Right.
But the excess mortality continues. So they're continuing to lose money because they're not making as much money as they used to. So the margins are thin. What's really going to hurt them is their whole life policies, which they sold pre-COVID.
Right.
You know, if you were a rich guy on Wall Street, a billionaire, and you got in, and your wife said, "Hey, I don't want you to, what if you die and blah, blah, blah." You got a $25 million whole life policy. That was priced pre-COVID. They don't reprice those. You buy it, you're paying into it. That's it. You priced it. They're going to take a big hit eventually. I just talked to my whistleblower about this. When are they going to start taking the hits on this part of their business? Because that it's Byzantine insurance accounting where they have long-term mortality assumptions. The moment they change those, they're going to have massive write-offs. So she thinks there's a potential for that one or two companies to maybe start this quarter because they closed the books in the third quarter actuarially, and then they make forward projections. So maybe, but we think mostly in 2024 and 2025, they're going to start taking huge, massive write-offs. But so it's coming.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of them are in denial, but there are some, you know, look, there are some smart executives that have probably figured this out. So what they're doing before they go public is scrambling to offload all their risk onto other people by selling their books of business to other folks.
Right.
So that's what, you know, it's there, you know, being a CEO is kind of a part psychopath, part, you know, manager. So
I know one of my roommates in college is an actuary. She was then, but before she moved to London, but it was like, you know, they're constantly taking tests. I can't even imagine what their brains have been like in the last 2 years. These actuaries that have to look at all this stuff, they definitely know. Those people have to be aware that something very, very bad is happening and is going to implode. I can't imagine that people
I was on Wall Street and like, you know, I was in portfolio management. So we had autonomy to make contrarian calls. And so like we got paid to like make big bets and make calls. So sometimes management would say one thing and we'd go against management, but it was kind of allowed because if we were right, we were right. And
right.
But in insurance executives and insurance companies, it's groupthink.
Right.
And it's even though an actuary in the ranks may be like it's the vaccine, they may not say it because they're afraid.
Right, of course. That's not that they're not they're not that it's not they're not in that job because they're very powerful and free thinkers.
Right. And they're not gonna get paid to make that call. I mean, on Wall Street, I got paid to make big calls. I didn't get paid to like toe the line.
Yeah. Speaking of that side of your thing, I saw Michael Berry recently came out as somebody I've followed for a long time, certainly since The Big Short. Not very positive thoughts about what's ahead in Wall Street in the next few months. I read an article and some of an interview that he did. And then I saw somebody else talking about it also, especially about the housing market and all of that. So putting on your finance hat, what are you looking at going forward? A lot of people are talking about, you know, October is going to be a rough ride, but I don't know. That's kind of your world. Any thoughts on where we are in that realm?
I can't tell you what the stock market's going to do. I think it should follow the economy. Eventually it will. We're looking at a recession this quarter, next quarter, first quarter. Goldman Sachs just came out and said it's going to be very mild, only minus 0.5% GDP. I think we heard that before during the great financial crisis. So it seems like it's echoing again. So a recession's coming. The debate is soft landing or hard landing? People look to the stock market and say, oh, well, it's going to be a soft landing. The stock market's okay. Is it okay? It's basically like six stocks holding everything up.
Right.
We've seen this move. It's called, you know, in 07, I've been talking to people who manage their own money. And they don't own the index. They pick stocks. And they said the market feels awful to them. And they remember 07, it was a very narrow market to the top. And banks were already starting to blow up in 07. A lot of the shadow banks were going under. And we had regional bank failures not that long ago. And the regional bank stock index looks like it's rolling over again. So, you know, I feel like the stock market is kind of a last gasp. And anytime over the next three, that it could happen, you know, today, next week, but soon it'll start to reflect reality. And then that's when the business media will start talking about it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we got problems. China's imploding and they're selling U.S. treasuries, not because they want to hurt us, because they have to. We've analyzed China. So China is undergoing what's called an internal debt restructuring, which is very painful. So it affects their whole way of life. So that's why they're so maniacal on keeping all the dissidents underfoot. And they'll probably introduce a COVID lockdown again. It'll be to cover up food riots, massive unemployment, what have you.
Right.
So they don't have they won't have a currency crisis because they have enough assets to offset that and keep their currency up. Japan's a problem. Japan could blow up at any moment. The yen's weakening. So internationally, the glue that holds the whole thing together is very fragile.
Yeah.
And the Fed thinks they're in control, but at some point, all you need is one big country to go kaplooey, and then it spreads. So it feels like we're getting closer and closer to that moment. You know, COVID was a war. So how do you stop deflation? Deflation is the bane of all bankers' existence, and the system needs constant credit creation. Deflation is a destruction of credit, or credit going down, lending going down. That was happening in 2019. So COVID mysteriously, miraculously appeared right on time and was a war. It was warlike spending across the globe that reinflated the economies of the globe for a couple of years and obviously unleashed inflation. Which we haven't seen for a long time. Right. Now it's rolling over again. So what's their next trick? I mean, they've been floating the alien nonsense. Imagine the government spending if they could convince people that there was an alien threat and we needed to unite the world governments together to spend money to fight. I mean, this is what the system is, a flawed system from the get-go, and it has an end date on it. And we're approaching the end date. It's just, it's going to implode. So everything you see in my mind is kabuki theater to point away from the politicians and the central bankers.
Yeah, I agree too. I think the IMF model is also blowing up. We have these people that are running this. You know, it's really scary. A lot of people don't realize that Inflation Reduction Act, basically the Build Back Better bill, these are being run by John Kerry, by John Podesta, by Samantha Power, by all these people that we've been watching. They're there. They're doing this. And the people are still acting like, well, it's just another cycle. And I know that I've seen you out there with RFK Jr. And I look at him and I like a lot of what he says. What I do wonder is, in his world, in his camp, are they looking at what is going, first of all, the attacks on him are very similar and the same people, in my opinion, when you look at the money behind the people really attacking him, it is the same people that really, really attack Trump too. And they're not on either side, in my opinion. But I hope that RFK Jr. is the nominee. But what I do see is a joint effort to make sure that doesn't happen. On that side of the aisle here, which is really, I don't think that there are sides at this point. I really think that, you know, we're in a captured situation. What is going on? Are they putting in any stopgaps? Are they starting to really look at what they're going to do to make sure that he stays out of it? Because I think that the RFK Jr. team and those people have a real opportunity to expose some of the manipulation of the elections that happened, whether they believe 2020 was legit or not. They're certainly going to try to make sure that he has no shot. And I wonder if they're already looking at that and I'm preparing for that, if you know at all.
Well, I'm not privy to that. I'm a co-treasurer. I'm counting the beans, but I will say this, his candidacy is already a success because now you have a Democrat running as a real Democrat, not this kabuki theater woke nonsense that doesn't even resemble the Democrats of old. And the mere fact he's in the race on the Democratic side and they try to disrupt him or stop him is going to expose what's going on. So even if you hate, if you're a brain dead, you know, Trump derangement syndrome person, maybe you'll see the whole system is rigged. And it's not because Trump is this existential evil it's basically to protect a system of grifting that's been going on for, you know, 60 plus years. I mean, the problem is it wasn't that well seen because the GDP of the U.S. government spending was a lot lower than it is today. Now it's 43%. And so the grift is a joke, and the grift is in your face. This Ukraine war is a grift. I mean, they run out of bullets. How do you run out of bullets when you're getting $800 billion? Well, that's because the money's being recycled back through FTX into the Democratic coffers and Republican coffers that supported the war. It's a joke. It's an in-your-face grift. They're looting the treasury, and now it's exposed. And this is why Trump and JFK are both threats to the grifting establishment. It's literally like the Hunger Games.
It is.
With, you know, exactly. The capital city. If you live in D.C., you're literally basically just grifting off of the taxpayers. And it's the consultant class. It's the K Street, you know, the people who were in government that go to the lobbyists. It's the corporate lobbyists. It's everybody. Everybody's got their, they're like pigs at the trough.
Right. And the thing about RFK Jr., and this is, I still believe that Trump will be the nominee on the right if they don't knock him out of it with some kind of nefarious 14th Amendment nonsense or whatever. They can do anything. It's very sad. I don't care what side you're on. It's very sad to see our judicial system and our legal system and all of this be completely captured and not functioning by the Constitution at all. But my hope is that RFK Jr. and the people around him will, he will not bend like Bernie Sanders. I mean, it was very clear to most people that Bernie Sanders should have been the nominee twice, and he wasn't either time, and he had to have accepted that. But to me, I feel like RFK Jr. staying in the race and actually getting the primary would do a lot towards healing for this country. I believe that we would then have actual conversations about real issues that matter to we the people and to our nation and our future. And I think that's what they're most scared of with him, is that people will start to actually think once again about things that actually matter to us in our futures. So when you are out there with him, how is he handling this? Because I'm sure he expected to be attacked, but at the same time, I really am rooting for him to stand his ground and keep going forward and not allowing what happened to Bernie Sanders.
Well, Bernie, again, speculation on my part, I think he was approached and offered a deal, and then he ended up with a new vacation home and some cars.
But it looks like,
yeah. And maybe he was threatened. I'm not sure. So right now, Bobby continues to fight the fight, speaking the truth. I mean, the guy is, if you watch any of his podcasts, he doesn't hold anything back. If you notice a change in tone or anything like that, then maybe he's been approached, but I don't think he is. He's a man of integrity. And, you know, if he goes sideways, which, to be honest, I don't expect it, or if he's approached, I'll know it, because I'm an analyst. And so if the tone changes, I'm out. But right now the tone is my father and my uncle were killed by the CIA.
Right.
Big Pharma owns the government. The wars are useless. I mean, on and on and on. So unless he changes that tone, we're good to go.
Yeah, I don't think there's a chance that he's changing that tone. I really am rooting for him to make it through the primary. I just know that these people that we're fighting, they're the worst of the worst. But if anyone can stand up to them, it's him. And in the name of his father and his uncle and a lot of Americans that now look back at the JFK murder and the RFK murder and realize they've been deceived all this time anyway. I actually think that they've all pushed it way too far. I think that the arrogance and the continued movement, even if people were sleeping or didn't want to know, you know, I hate the people that say, well, I'm not into politics. And I'm like, well, politics is into everything now. So you're into something. But I do believe that we are in a end game phase. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I just mean, I don't think it could go on much longer without people, you know, having had enough. So before we end, I just wanted your take on you still are, you know, optimistic, and you're looking at all the trends and you kind of see what's going on from a point of view that most people don't have the skills you have. So what are you seeing for the next year? I think it's going to be a bumpy road, but I'm not as pessimistic as I hear a lot of people out there.
No, we shouldn't be, because again, no one's going to comply this time. We already have some small successes with the mask mandates in certain employment situations. You know, when someone says, oh, I'm not political, they need to understand something. Maybe that was, you could say that when the government was 15% of the GDP, it's 43%. It wants to swallow everything. So right. you have to get political. And if you're not, and it's not, you know, red team, blue team, it's team freedom. And we got to stop this giant creep of the bureaucracy into every part of our lives to tax us to death and control us. So you got to get political whether you want to or not. We're at peak wokeism, I think. That's over. We saw that. That's done. Budweiser. You got to understand. You got to understand. Budweiser beer sales, Bud Light. It's a consumer product that grows basically 3% a year, and they just lost 30% of market share. That's game over for Bud Light.
Right.
Target tried to float this weird, you know, tuck transsexual stuff, and they got so panicked they sent out memos that removed all the stuff from the store. Larry Fink, who was in a bubble because everyone tells him he's great.
Right.
Thought that the ESG stuff was great. He could make more money because you charge a higher fee. Now even he's backing away from it. We are peak woke. It's we're rolling the other way.
Right.
This insanity that there are, 17 different genders and now people, identifying as fuzzies, whatever it is, it's insanity. And people are recognizing it as insanity and no longer tolerating it. So I think the pendulum swung. There's going to be a lot of those in power are going to fight it. There'll be a lot of conflict and chaos. But on the other side is a lot of hope.
I agree.
I think we're winning.
Yeah,
me
too. God and good and freedom and liberty will not be extinguished, in my opinion. And like you said, I think we're full past the woke thing. Now, I did, because you brought that up, I wanted to ask one more thing because you're very smart. You know, a lot of people look at the what's going on at the border, the Clower pivot strategy of it all, and the money that they're giving out. We just finally moved from Manhattan just a month ago because it was so ridiculous and untenable, and it's getting worse every day. So on that front, that's one place that I think most people can now agree there's a real problem and that has to be stopped too. So that's the only place right now that I think, most people can agree is a disaster, the border. But just in your take from that, where do you think that ends? Does that start to really make a difference come the school year, or they got to run out of money for that too? They don't have any money left.
Absolutely. So look, one of the things I found very curious about the border situation is they weren't requiring the people that were crossing to get vaccinated. Did you notice that?
I sure did. Yeah.
Yeah. So what did we do? We vaccinated the working class of our country, and now many of them are sick, and we're letting in basically uneducated folks that aren't vaccinated. It seems like a population replacement strategy to me.
Yeah.
Again, I have no proof, but I'm just putting together the mosaic dots and coming up with a thesis.
Right.
And once people realize that, Bobby went down there and he said this is a disaster, humanitarian crisis needs to stop. Even look, Democrats tend to be more open borders. Even he was like, no. We can't let this go on. So.
Yeah.
So I think the border can unite everybody because we're letting in unskilled, unvaccinated folks who will be, and this isn't about race. This is class. So if you're Black, Latino, and you're already a U.S. citizen, those people are there to replace you.
Yeah. And the other scary part is we have to remember with our kids, because what I learned about, I have friends that have children that are school age, what they are doing, a lot of these kids that are coming, they're not educated in their own language. They never really went to school in their own country. And they're about to be put into our schools in New York, at least, at the age appropriate for the grade. So they're going to put kids in, you know, fifth grade and seventh grade and 11th grade who have no education whatsoever. So this is also going to be a thing where parents are starting to be where, you know, you can't sustain that on any level. They're trying to dumb down our kids. It's just I just think one way or another, everything's starting. Like you said, nobody can't be political at this point. But whether it's the border or our children or the LGBTQ or the woke stuff or the finance or plandemic, I just feel like they played the cards too far, and we're going to be in a bumpy road, but I think a lot better is going to be ahead, and we'll get to, you know, take our country back in the right direction.
Don't forget climate change. They're going to try to convince us that the earth is warming and fires magically sprout out all over the globe because the sun is so hot. They're going to try, I suspect we'll have a climate lockdown and try it in at least one country somewhere.
They will try.
And today, I don't know, today, the big news today was United asked the FAA to stop all flights for United because they have equipment failures, outages, equipment, not computer outages, equipment outages. Now, how that translates to every spot and hub in their whole system is a mystery to me. What I suspect is they're having staffing problems over the long holiday weekend, and it's become such a morass that they can't make all the flights. So they're blaming equipment shortages.
Yeah. I'm just so sick of that. No accountability, always pass the buck. Like, but the truth is, I think they've just done it too much. We've gone past the point of anyone accepting things as at face value. It was funny until I started listening to you and some other people. I didn't even know that there was financial fake news. I didn't know how massive the narrative capture was until the last few years, especially when it comes to our economy and all of this stuff. So you've been a big help to me personally, your book and everything. You kind of keep us in line with all of that stuff while also following the pandemic and the excess death and everything. So can you tell my audience that doesn't already follow you, which would be a surprise, where to follow you, where to find you, and how to keep up with all of the great information that you do put out there? I know you never meant to be on the front lines of the information war, but you ended up being a great service and a gift to all of us that care about the truth.
Yeah, no, my life took a different journey. If you had told me 20 years ago when I was at BlackRock, drinking a martini, smoking a cigar, that I'd be on Maui in 2022 at Earth Day speaking in front of a bunch of hippies about pharmaceutical vaccines, I would have told you you were smoking something. But that's what happens.
I know.
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter at Dowd Edward, D-O-W-D, Edward Getter at Edward Dowd. We have our website has all of our research. It's financetechnologies.com, spelled with a P-H instead of an F.
Right.
Go to Humanity Projects. I mean, we got the goods. I mean, anybody who goes spends any time on our website, it's like, oh, it's game over. But the authorities aren't paying attention yet. We got all the receipts.
Or they are paying attention, and they really don't want us to pay attention. But that they know that we know. I feel like they know that we know that they know that we know.
Well, our website traffic has exploded. When we first launched the website at the end of last year, it was about 10,000 a month. Now we're over 500,000 a month.
Oh, great.
Okay, so that's cool. Good. That's good.
Yeah.
I also have a book, Cause Unknown, that people find useful to hand to their loved ones that think you're crazy, found on Amazon.
Yes.
Cause Unknown, the Epidemic of Sudden Death in 21 and 22. That's a good resource for those who are still bumbling along taking boosters.
Yeah, it's amazing. But you've done incredible work. And I know many, many people are very grateful for your work. I do recommend his book to anyone that is still out there questioning what to do. And people are waking up. They're pushing out the boosters. They're pushing out vaccines again. You know, get to them before that. Go to his website. Make sure you sign up for updates there, too, as well, because we don't know where the censorship truth ministry is headed at this point. So it's good to go on his website and make sure that you are signed up over there so you know what they're doing and where they're going. God forbid we have Elon have a bigger problem than he already has right now. Thank you, Ed Dowd. You have been on the forefront of bravery and courage and speaking out, and you've done the world a great service. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mel.
Hi, guys. You know, for months and months, me and Mike Al have been talking about the water supply. What is in there? There are pharmaceuticals in the water supply. There are all these chemicals, lots of pollution. We've had all these natural disasters that leave our water not nearly as clean and certainly not as God intended. We know how important water is for our health. So we have been on a mission to try to find the best alternative to the water that is out there, including bottled water, which of course, we did a whole show on everything that's in bottled water, which is almost as shocking as what's in our natural water now. So we found the best partner we could in Healthy Hydrogen. This is a portable bottle that I use all the time, but also there are many options over there. You can get a full house system. You can get a tabletop system. You can get for your shower, for your office and business. They have so many great options. If you go to themelkayshow.com, we have partnered with them. So it's on our partners page, Healthy Hydrogen. I am telling you right now, the difference in this water and what it will do to your health in general is incredible. If you have inflammation, your immune system has problems, anything that you are thinking you don't know the solution for, this could be the game changer. We've been looking for the missing piece, and I believe the missing piece is the water. We are so excited. They have so much science backing all of their products. They have been tested by all different groups out there that do this for a living and look at water really in depth. We have the hydrogen aspect, which is truly fascinating. Nothing is more important than water. We all know that. So make sure you're putting the best water in your body. And I assure you, this is a true, true game changer that you will see right away and will improve your health and your family's health going forward. Go check out the Mel Kay Show partners page, Healthy Hydrogen, and get your health back from the inside out, starting with God's great water. We will see you soon. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of the show. Everyone's been asking me what I've been doing because I am in better shape than I've been probably maybe in my life. And I am now thriving and I have so much energy. I'm going around, I'm doing all these tours and I'm doing the show and I'm showing up at small events and big events. And I'll tell you the one thing that's definitely changed my life is superfoods. Mel Kay superfoods. When I got involved with superfoods in the beginning, I was not eating right. I was not sleeping right. I was not, it was mid-COVID, so I wasn't really doing much and I was doing a lot of things wrong. And then I found superfoods and it has changed me from the inside out. Not only have I dropped weight, which wasn't even the goal, I really wanted to detox. I wanted to help my immune system. I wanted to make sure I didn't get sick while a lot of other people were. And superfoods came into my life and changed everything. I now think about what I'm eating. I don't have cravings. I don't eat late night. There's a whole protocol. It's so easy. It's laid out for you. You take it out of the box. It's there. All your food's taken care of, all your nutrients, all your energy, all your protein. It is an amazing way to change your life from the inside out. Superfoods changes everything. It gives you a protocol. It gives you a schedule. You know what to do. You know what you're eating. You feel great. You look great. Your life's getting better. And the one thing I know is you can go to themelkayshow.com, go down to superfoods, and you can start your journey. Because today is the day. I will tell you, I waited, and then I started superfoods, and within 3 months, my entire life changed for the better, more than I could have imagined. MelKayShow.com, go to partners page, down to superfoods, and click on the link, and you will find a whole new world that will change your mind, change your body, change your life. So when you get superfoods, that helps me and helps this show keep going. I cannot tell you how much it's changed my life for the better, and it will yours too. And enjoy the rest of the show. Mel Kay Superfoods. Get over there now. There's no time like the present.